This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. All during today's show, we're remembering the attacks of September 11th, 2001, from the vantage of Illinoisans, here in our home state, in New York City, and in Washington, D.C. That's where Illinois' senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin was. He was headed for a leadership meeting in the U.S. Capitol building.
As I got on the elevator in the building, somebody said a plane crashed into a high-rise building in New York. Sounded strange. And as I walked a few steps to the meeting, television was on and a second plane obviously crashed into the World Trade Center. We knew something horrible was underway. We looked out on the mall about 10 or 15 minutes later, and black billowing smoke was coming across the mall in Washington, D.C. It was the site, of course, of where the Pentagon had been subject to the same type of airplane attack, and people died there as well. We rushed out of the building when we were evacuated, stood on the lawn, and didn't know where to turn. Where was it going to be safe? There was no shelter in place or anything to turn to. Tourists were coming up to me saying, "Do you work here? Where should I go?" We didn't know the answer. But we soon learned, as the day progressed, that another plane headed for Washington, D.C., had been waylaid by some heroic passengers in Pennsylvania. We don't know if their target was the White House. It could easily have been the Capitol. Our lives could have been at stake at that very moment. That's a moment I'll never forget.
Most of us will never forget where we were on 9/11. I was working as a part-time administrator in an elementary school, just a sort of administrative job. The students had been sent home, so I found an empty room and watched a staticky TV while hanging out on a landline phone with my good friend Ken. We just kept repeating our disbelief in ways more profane than profound, but there was a drive to be together. That was also the experience of the late former Governor Jim Thompson, who would go on to be a member of the 9/11 Commission. At the time, he was running the powerhouse law firm of Winston Strawn in Chicago.
The thing I remember most clearly was, as I was preparing to go home, a number of my young assistants asked if they could go home with me. They didn't want to be alone on this morning. So I came home with four or five people who worked for me. And for the rest of the day and into the early evening, we all sat huddled around the television set. Mrs. Thompson fed us. But we didn't move. It was such a horrifying event. And finally, as it became clearer what was going on and that it was not going to be followed by anything bad in Chicago, the guys went home. But I thought that was an extraordinary thing, feeling that everybody wanted to be together in the same room. They didn't want to go home by themselves. Now, these are grown men. I mean, just, you know, but it was such an extraordinary event.
That audio is from the Oral History Collection at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. An extraordinary event, Thompson said. Also, horrific. That's how listener Jane in Central Illinois remembers that day. In an email, she recounted taking a train to Chicago for a work meeting. Someone mentioned something about a plane hitting a building in New York as she left the station, but when she got to her destination, a boss came on stage to say they should leave the city ASAP. She walked to Union Station, hurrying past the Sears Tower, and finally caught up with the horror when she got home that evening. Listener John recounted in a text message that when he first got a call saying a plane hit the World Trade Center, he thought it was just an accident, like the small aircraft that hit the Empire State Building in World War II. As the truth of the situation set in, he says he spent the rest of the day watching the fighter jets fly to Chicago to protect the Sears Tower. Meanwhile, across the U.S. in Washington State, Mark, who now lives in Champaign, was on his way to work at a university library.
I remember walking in the door that morning after a long walk up the hill to the university and finding a rest area right inside the room being heavily populated by students who were watching the events on a television that had been set up by librarians. It was my first sight of the burning tower. It was a very emotional, disturbing experience, and I don't think our world has ever been the same since.
Listener Franny was also working in a library on 9/11. Hers was an elementary school, grades K through 8. I turned on the TV in the Learning Center and began watching the news coverage, Franny said in a text message. When I saw the second airplane fly into the other tower, my heart stopped. I realized this was no accident. I was terrified. I thought, oh my God, the United States is under attack. Explaining the events of 9/11 to children was hard enough in the immediate aftermath. But today, 20 years on, this generation's elementary, middle, and high school students have no firsthand memories of 9/11. Even many college students were not born on that day. For educators, figuring out how to teach 9/11 to this generation presents a different sort of challenge. With no official guidelines in place, teachers are working to help students understand how a series of events shaped the world as they know it today. But while the horrors of 9/11 are something most of us say we'll never forget, it's something current and future generations of students will never be able to remember, not in the way we do. To talk about this, we're joined now by Melissa Schepplein, executive teacher in social studies at University Laboratory High School in Urbana. Melissa, thank you for being with us today here on the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
We also have Kristen Burns, history department chair and middle and high school social studies teacher at Keith Country Day School in Rockford. Kristen, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is John Hamilton, assistant principal and social studies teacher at Butler Junior High School in Oak Brook. John, thank you for making the time to be with us.
Thanks for inviting me today.
And finally, Corey Winchester, a history and social science teacher at Evanston Township High School. Corey, thanks to you as well, and welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Listeners, we also want to hear from you. What are your memories of 9/11? And how did you talk about it with young people at the time? How do you talk about it now with the young people in your life? 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Melissa, I want to begin with you. I understand when you began your teaching career, it was just a year or so after 9/11 in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. Can you talk about what it was like teaching students who had, you know, lived through the history in some way, and then, you know, to now with students who just know it from textbooks and videos?
Yeah, it's definitely different approaching this 19th anniversary. My first year of teaching when I was 25 was the first anniversary of September 11th, and the school that I taught at was less than 10 miles from the Pentagon. One of the students at the time, his father was on the plane that hit the Pentagon. We had a math teacher whose brother died in the World Trade Center. So it, in that school year, the 2002-2003 school year, of course, the war in Iraq began. And also Washington, D.C. was fearful of biochemical warfare. And we would have faculty meetings where we were trained, although not in a very sophisticated way. We were all issued duct tape. That was our main strategy. If something was to happen, we were supposed to duct tape all the windows. But it was a very different time than it is right now. And we would have to approach the, of course, this anniversary you would always approach with sensitivity, but especially since the school community was so, that school community was so directly affected by September 11th. It was very different than today, where, as you said, my students are, I teach eighth grade at Uni High, and my students are 12 and 13, and this definitely is in the history books for them.
Kristen, you lead your school's history department at the Keith School. How did you prepare the faculty to teach about 9/11 this year, since it is the 20 years, two decades since it happened, but it's also back in the news somewhat because of America's recent decision to finally withdraw its last civilian and military personnel from Afghanistan.
Absolutely. I've been meeting with my colleagues in our history department, and we've been trying to think of ways to, I mean, we always, of course, commemorate and honor and respect what happened on 9/11. But this year, it's something different, especially as you've mentioned, being back in the news. We are focusing a little bit more on the after effects of 9/11, you know, how things have changed over the last 20 years. As Melissa had said, for, you know, our students now, this is in the history books. And, you know, they don't have the visceral personal reaction to 9/11 that, you know, they had, you know, 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. Our students are all, you know, new to this, and this is history for them. So this year we've really striven to, you know, keep in mind with what's going on with the war in Afghanistan and how to tie all of the after effects of 9/11 and the consequences of 9/11 into how we're teaching it this year.
And John Hamilton, I want to bring you into the conversation. When we talk about sensitive topics like this, especially those that over time maybe have gained more of a political dimension than they originally had, speaking of 9/11, but everything that's come after it, how do you approach that as an educator?
Sure. So, you know, in this case, I have to approach it from two perspectives, right? From the teaching perspective and from the administrative aspect. I think with teaching junior high students in the classroom, you want to front load everything, right? So you want to give kids some of the background information. And ultimately, you really want to make sure that they feel comfortable asking questions. So a lot of it is developing relationships with students and helping them feel comfortable bringing up anything that they have questions about or concerns about, or letting you know if a certain, you know, concept is something that they're struggling with, especially when we're talking about, you know, an event like 9/11. From an administrative, you know, perspective, we are also very cognizant of the fact that this is a day that a lot of kids may struggle with, in that maybe they have family members who were impacted by this. And while they might not have experienced it themselves, they might see the experiences of their family members and have reactions to that as well. So making sure that staff members are keeping an eye out for students who might be struggling, or staff members who might be struggling, and making sure that we have, you know, our school counselor available to talk to anybody, or the, you know, principal and myself also available to discuss that. It's all about just keeping an open ear, an open mind, and an open eye, and helping kids, you know, experience this day and a lot of the activities that we have planned in a safe, emotionally safe way.
And Corey, what about you? How are you approaching teaching your students? You have older students in high school. I imagine a lot of them are, at least some of them anyway, are coming into their own sort of political views on things. How do you approach teaching 9/11 to your students?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to, you know, build a capacity for young folks to understand the multiplicity of perspectives and to understand that history is complicated. And so, you know, in the early days when I had started teaching in 2010, my students had recollections of the event. And for the most part, a lot of their experiences were similar. But then when you start to talk about the ways that some communities have had to live in the United States in a post 9/11 world, you know, if you think about the experiences of Muslim Americans or Arab Americans and the types of discrimination that they faced, you have to be able to layer in the complexities of history. So the way that I try to approach, you know, teaching not just 9/11, but events that do carry significant historical trauma, is to talk about the multiplicity of perspectives and to remind students that there isn't a singular narrative about what these events are and how they've impacted people's lived experiences day to day.
All right, I want to take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with a panel of teachers for the rest of our program today as we recall the events of 9/11. It's been 2 decades. This Saturday marks 20 years since those attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. And we are speaking with Corey Winchester, who's a teacher at Evanston Township High School, John Hamilton, an administrator and teacher at Butler Junior High in Oak Brook, Illinois, Kristen Burns, who is chair of the history department and a teacher at Keith Country Day School in Rockford, and Melissa Shepline, who is executive teacher in social studies at University Lab High School in Urbana. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. And Nestor is on the line from Sterling. Nestor, thank you for calling in. Where were you on 9/11? Nestor, are you still with us? All right, we seem to have lost Nestor. He, just a note from a producer, he says he was in first grade at the time, watching it on TV, and the moment still stays with him. John, how about you? Where were you on 9/11? Do you remember the events of that day? And I should say we need to take a break in about a minute here. So briefly, what are your memories of the event itself? Go ahead.
So I was in seventh grade at St. Francis Xavier Elementary in LaGrange. We left school early in the morning that day to go on a field trip to Fermilab. So it was a science field trip to actually go see a prairie. And as we were leaving school, you know, somebody who had come in late, one of my classmates mentioned that they had just seen on the news that a plane had crashed into, you know, the World Trade Center. And as was stated earlier, we all kind of thought it initially this must be like a terrible accident, right? And so it's not until we're about halfway there that, you know, our school had one school cell phone and the teacher gets a call letting her know that we needed to turn around and take the bus back because a second plane had struck the other World Trade Center. And it was a terrorist attack. And so we were brought back and all brought into a room with a TV to watch what was happening until our parents picked us up. So that's certainly a morning that I'll never forget, both, you know, just as a person, but also as an educator.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to continue this conversation. We need to take a short break for our member stations here. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. More to come on teaching 9/11 to the younger generation today. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community. The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're continuing our conversation in our program, remembering 20 years since 9/11. We're talking about teaching 9/11 to this youngest generation of students who do not have firsthand memories of the events. That's been something that's been a transition we've been hearing about over the years. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. We're speaking with Melissa Shepline, who's a teacher at Uni High in Urbana, Kristen Burns from the Keith Country Day School in Rockford, John Hamilton from Butler Junior High in Oak Brook, and Corey Winchester at Evanston Township High School. And if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. Melissa, your eighth grade students, I understand, are working on an oral history project where they're interviewing people in Champaign, Urbana, and the area about their experiences on September 11th, 2001. Why, can you talk about why you decided to have that be the focus of this year's project?
Yeah. So we've been doing this oral history project for several years now, and actually in partnership with Illinois Public Media Education Department. And this year, so I actually have older students who choose the topic every year, and several students came to me with the idea of doing this topic. And our goal with the project will be to eventually interview people living in Champaign-Urbana who possibly lived in New York or Washington on September 11th, 2001, members of our local Muslim community, veterans who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, university experts, local government officials who were in office on 9/11. And we're similar to what the other teachers talked about. You know, our goal with any project and any topic that we approach is to try to understand multiple perspectives and the complexity of a topic such as September 11th, including what's happened in the past 20 years since then. With the war in Afghanistan, wrapping up, you know, that has, it has been interesting to be a teacher while our country is at war, because unless students have friends or family who are in the military, for the most part, our students' lives haven't felt very much affected by these wars in terms of their day-to-day life. And so trying to grapple with understanding U.S. foreign policy and domestic policy that changed after 9/11 will be part of our goal as well. So I think there's a curiosity on the students' parts. I think a lot of their parents talk about 9/11 as being a very impactful moment in their own lives and in their own thinking. I was excited to have the opportunity to dig a little bit deeper with this topic than I normally, you know, we'll definitely be spending a couple months on this as opposed to 1 or 2 days.
And Corey, I want to ask you about something Melissa said, which is tying, you know, the lessons around 9/11 to current events, such as the war in Afghanistan. You mentioned that, you know, earlier in the program, I mentioned Jim Thompson. We heard a little soundbite from him. He was, of course, on the 9/11 Commission report, the late former Illinois governor. He was on the commission that issued the report, I should say. And, you know, that was America's attempt to have a sort of one definitive history of what happened that day. You mentioned complicating the narrative, and I suspect that the war in Afghanistan is one way that that happens. Can you talk about how you approach that? And maybe what are some of the questions you get from students nowadays?
Yeah, so I got to say that some of the best teachers are the ones that really borrow a lot from past experiences. And so I was taking a course, you know, when I got my master's, and we watched this video that was done by a USC film student, and it was called Infamy. And really my professor, Dr. Oyan Poon, was trying to get us to think about the multiplicity of stories and narratives. And so this particular film video had, it was about 4 minutes, and it introduced us to a person of Japanese ancestry who was American and was reliving the moments after Pearl Harbor and some of the experiences that, you know, his family faced as a result of Japanese internment. And then it drew a parallel to present day experiences that Muslim Americans and Arab Americans faced in light of September 11th. And that, for me at that point, I was in my second or third year teaching, but it really shifted the way that I had even understood my role in my job. And so what I really try to do is to make connections between past and present so that young folks understand that history isn't just this thing that happened on one day, but that we continue to deal with historical legacies, right? They shape and inform us of how we live. So in the same way that that particular film student was drawing these parallels, right? And there was a little bit of sympathy and empathy that was implied in the representation of the Japanese American family watching and witnessing what was happening to, you know, the Muslim / you know, Arab American family. You know, as they experienced discrimination, they were detained by police in this particular video. And so I really try to get, you know, young folks to understand that, you know, history isn't a thing of the past. It's complex. We live through the historical legacies. And so, like, even now, I just assigned my students to watch on Netflix Turning Point, 9/11 and the War on Terror, right? So, you know, I think at this particular point, 20 years out, we have a lot more stories and narratives and folks that are trying to, you know, make sure that I think we tell a complex story about what this day was.
Kristen, I want to ask you, you teach social studies to, I understand, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 12th graders, 5 different grade levels, 5th grade elementary students through high school seniors. How does explaining 9/11 to a 5th grader differ from explaining it to a high school senior?
Absolutely. It's challenging to say the least. You want to impress upon the students how important and serious this event was in American history, but you also don't, you know, obviously for a 5th grader, you don't want to get into too many of the details that are, you know, you have to be careful about what pictures you show. Whereas for the seniors, we get much more into the politics of what was going on, the underlying issues, the after effects. But with the younger ones, we focus more on the helpers you know, and, you know, those that gave their lives helping those and cleaning up after 9/11. I do a lot of work with the 9/11 Memorial in New York. They have a wonderful webinar that they put out every year, and they've got a really nice one for the 20th anniversary. We'll be watching that in the upper middle school level and high school level grades this year.
John, in addition to teaching social studies, you're also the assistant principal at Butler. Can you talk about how, as a school, you've acknowledged 9/11 in the past and what plans might be this year?
Sure. Yeah. So this year, in a similar vein, about 5 years ago for the 15th anniversary, but also this year for the 20th anniversary, the Oak Brook Police Department partners with an organization called Healing Fields, where they set up on some local soccer fields a little over 2,900 U.S. flags. And each of those flags represents one of the lives lost in the 9/11 attacks. And attached to each one is also a little story about that person's life. And so given that this is something that is accessible to us and is only a few blocks from our school, we have the opportunity this year to take our students there in the afternoon to spend some time looking through this memorial with their classmates and with their teachers. And this is something that's important for us at the junior high level because, you know, this is a concept that, as we've been discussing, these kids, you know, didn't live through. And time and numbers are concepts that tend to desensitize things, right, over time. And so kids in junior high, as Kristen was just saying, don't have a full understanding or comprehension of what these events were. And so they hear about them, they read about these things in books. And I think in some cases they recognize that this is a tragedy, but they don't necessarily have a full understanding of what that impact is. But because kids are such experiential learners, especially at this age, going there and getting to walk around and see all of these flags and see the sheer number of people that were impacted, and then realizing that you also have to multiply that in that this loss of life impacts families and communities and everybody else, I think really brings it, you know, back home. And it makes this something that they, you know, feel so much more deeply about. And so then when we come back, we're able to take them through a number of discussion-based activities where they're encouraged to ask questions and seek clarification and comprehension, and ultimately find kind of a creative outlet with which to express how this activity has impacted them and what they've now learned about this and why they believe that this is an important concept to talk about, an important day to remember, and certainly thousands of important people to memorialize.
John, what sort of questions do they ask after having had that experience where they maybe are prompted to feel it a little more deeply than they otherwise might have, not having lived through it in the first place?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the common things that they really want to know is they want to know what their teachers experienced or what they remember from that day. They want to know what it was like for kids their age now to, you know, view this from Chicago and the Chicago area, and also potentially to have seen this up close. You know, stories of students in New York and in Washington, D.C. They want to know what those experiences were like. I think that, you know, one of the SEL initiatives that we work on is really, you know, teaching empathy to our students. And so you can kind of see the success of that in their line of questioning, because they want to know, really be able to put themselves in the shoes of people that were their age 20 years ago and how this might have impacted them. They also, you know, you got a wide range in questioning from sixth grade to eighth grade, right? So by the time they're in eighth grade and they have some understanding of geopolitics through sixth and seventh grade social studies, you know, they want to know some of the wider implications. They want to talk about the connection between these events and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, that other teachers here have mentioned as well. So really, it does create some robust conversations that we're able to carry on through certainly tomorrow and into the future.
And Melissa, what about your students? What do you hope by doing this oral history project. What do you hope they come away with, you know, hearing these firsthand stories?
I hope that they come away with understanding how complex all of this moment in history was and continues to be, and that they continue to be inspired to ask questions and to do research. I think that there isn't just one narrative about September 11th. I think there's just so many questions that students could be exploring, and I hope that they understand and come away with realizing that that most moments in history are like that. I can't think of one that isn't, and that they continue to be inspired to ask questions.
Melissa, I want to thank you. Melissa Shipline is executive teacher in social studies at University Lab High School in Urbana. We've also been speaking with Kristen Burns, history department chair and middle and high school social studies teacher at Keith Country Day School in Rockford. John Hamilton is assistant principal and social studies teacher at Butler Junior High School in Oak Brook. And Corey Winchester is a history and social science teacher at Evanston Township High School. Corey, John, Kristen, Melissa, I want to thank you all so much for being with us here today on the 21st and sharing your lessons from teaching 9/11 to the new generation of students. And thank you for the work you do.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Steve Mork and Jason Croft. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Before we go, I do want to urge you to visit our website, 21stshow.org. From there, you can send us a message, let us know what you thought about the conversations we have on the program. Our email address is there. You can also leave us a voicemail. We heard one played during the show today. And you can sign up for our texting group. All that and more is at our website, 21stshow.org. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We'll talk with you again next week.